Thank you, Matt. So, first of all, I want to thank the organizers for inviting us to share our work to people here. And basically, my talk is going to be about marketing mission markets. And there is three subjects it's going to deal with. So we're going to see what we can learn from the European experience, first of all. And then we're going to provide some recommendations for hedging funds. And the third part of my talk is going to be devoted for regulators. And we give them like recommendation in order to set up like more efficient, depending on our belief, market design. So, for carbon emission market, for who is not familiar with, is like kind of regulated at each beginning of the compliance period. He would set up like certain amount of emission, which is cap, and then everyone had to comply with like number of emissions should be equal to the number of allowances that he has. Otherwise, if he needs more, he has to go to the market, which we believe, and our regulators believe that it's the most least cost policy instrument to price the allowances. So, and who's the regulator and emitter, and who's the basically the market participants are regulated emitters, non-regulated emitters, and non-emitters. So to give more insight, I'll go technology. So let's have like, suppose that we have two compliance period dates. The first, so we are time T, so we have a certain amount of emission allowances, and then we trade in order to get a time T1, the number of allowances should be equal to the emitted quantity. And we keep going. So this is basically when we would like to reduce the emission in order to comply, such as regulatory commitment like Q2 commitment. So here, the size of T is like the dimensional vector of discounted future allowance price. So if I T is like the allowances, the surprise of allowances at time T that is used for compliance purpose at time T1. So we work here with a discrete time framework, and we assume if the market is complete, the return is provided by FD measurable process. Here we work with discrete time polynomial framework. So Ci of t takes two values, which is up and down, to avoid arbitrage opportunity. However, this is not realistic a problem. Why? Because as we saw from European experience, expected market, like in projection of the market status, I mean, it has really impact in trading strategy, especially like the market design allows for, we call it borrowing and banking, which is basically the different compliance periods are interrelated. So, clearly, the market is complete because it's not efficient, let's say. And the information set describe the expected market position structure affect the prices. As you will see from the histogram, if we take 2009 contracts and 2010 contracts, so we see from the histogram is basically there's two states of the market. First state, when the prices are low, and we call it long state, and the other state when the prices are high, and we call it short state. So to do so, we need somehow to put in the model some variables, random variables that introduce the notion of expected market status, which is mean. Suppose we are time T, the market are low, but you accept that at the compliance date, the price will be high. So, as we are, we provide, like, we suggest this following dynamic, where the returns are given by certain FT minus one measurable return function. That depends on both. If we assume that the XAI of T, if we assume the market is complete, and plus another source of randomness, which is not observable for like traders at time T, and it reflects the implied investor market expectation projection at time T for the subsequent compliance date coming soon. It means like if we are at time T less than T1, so Y1 of T minus 1 will be like the implied We applied the investor market projection at time t1. So let's get more serious to show you this figure. So suppose we have two time step model, and the market is complete. So we've end up with 14 states of nature, with fourth state of nature. So if we introduce y, the random variable y, and we end up at time t1 by first state, so which is basically how can we read this figure? Like we are time t1, so we have four states of nature. So prices went out, went up, and we expect the market to be short. So it means we accept the market at time t1 to be high, the price to be high. Or the market went up today, and really like people expect that the market, like the price, to go down at time t1. Or we can interpret a similar way if the price went down today and we project the prices will go up at time t1. And the same for this first one, the price goes down and then accept the price will stay low at time t1. So if you take like one of those, and then we end up also with four states of nature, and then we end up with 16 states of nature. So from four, we end up with 16. So here we differentiate. So we model basically the implied market expectation, right? Which is basically we take today, but people they believe that the market has another pattern at subsequent compliance date. So we try here and we try to estimate a model and see what can we learn really from this data if we work with such a model. And then we focus on contracts that have T1 here is December 2009 and T2 is December 2010. And then we use data from January 2008 to December 2009. The sources are, we have here 500 observations from Bloomberg. And we assume that the expected markets, the all information about expected market projection at the time, December 2009, is given, provided by the December 2009 contract, which makes sense. So, and here we assume that we have like CI of T is constant, which is called empirical average. So we take the upwards and downwards like movement, and then we take the empirical average, and we assume this is basically, we have constant like binomial tree with constant returns. But we consider a special case also when Fi t minus 1, so c1 which is constant plus y1 on t which is takes positive value if you expect the market at time t1 will be short, or negative value if the market at time t1 expect to be long. And y2 of t minus 1 will drive implicitly the price of December 2010 during the last period of December 2009. So we do the estimation, which is basically you find like almost like 10 basis point difference between upward movement December 2009 to December 2010 contract returns, but we find also almost similar when they go if they have down movement. So here we suppose that while one T are IID, so here basically we try to fit it to some distributions. And we find like it's a good fit, decent fit for while one of T is a Gaussian method distribution with two, which is basically it gives us a sum of two Gaussian distribution. Here the test, the KS test has been accepted at 99%. To estimate the parameters, we used the expected maximization algorithm. And then what can you say here? It's basically how can you interpret it? It's like the market participant. See, basically they have two different view of the market. So, and each like view has like distribution. So which basically gives us more intuition. And here we try basically to, can we answer this question? Can we like analyze the return two of t in function of one of t plus certain variable I of t, which represents the impact of the expected market position at time t1 on y2 of t. However, we the variable I of t is not observed. So basically, we need to approximate this variable, we call it proxy instrument for this variable, using the market state variable, which is basically the sign of one of t. Guess some technicality we need to make sure that it's verified, which is basically if we have condition expectation of y2 of t given y1 of t and I of t and ms of t basically does not provide that any additional information to the model. So, and then we do regression and we pick up j as a polynomial. You can ask what polynomial. Basically, we want to have a tractable partial impact of 1 of t given y2 of t. When we run simulation, we use the OLS estimator, which is basically here. It's consistent and efficient. And we have different value. And as you can see here, basically about 75% of the December 2010 dynamics can be explained by December 2009 dynamics. Furthermore, the sign of I1 is positive. What does it mean? It means like if Y1 of t is positive, we expect Y2 of t to be positive, so they have the same dynamic patterns. However, here we cannot really like interpret it like it is, because it's only sample regression. How can you basically conclude this using when we estimate the probability set? If you assume, so each like knot of the tree, we have 8 stages because we work in 2 periods model. So we see here like 99% of the time, December 2008 contract, December 2009 contract have the same dynamics. However, 1% of the time, it goes in the opposite direction. So this is like very good, very important observation. Why? Because here we have the case, 2 contracts, they have the same pattern, the same dynamics, but there is spread between them. So we are thinking, how can we use the spread information and this information, what can we do to be useful in this case of the model? So basically, somehow, like we have two correlated contracts, but are not completely correlated, but they somehow they price the some lack of information or some uncertainty that it's at time T1, which is at time December 2009. So to do so, we want to like use this information and from our investor side. So if you want like to have like price H, which is like random variable, so we would like to provide a strategy that ends up as close as possible to H. Given at time 0, its price is say 0, right? So we want to find out the minimal capital and the associated strategy that ends up close to our random variable H. So here, basically, we are interested only in the processes that have randomness, so we are not interested in processes, deterministic processes. And here, provide this proposition. It's basically the problem, the solution of the problem that I just presented can be expressed as function of, we call it the mean variance optimal probability measure, and which is basically the price will be as the expected value of the final payoff, and the associated risk is given by equation 13. Basically, if there is the strategy A and strategy B, strategy A outperforms strategy B. B, if equation 30 of strategy A is less than equation 13 of quantity of strategy B. So basically, if we are, for example, today, we have in our model, we have December 2009 contract, December 2010 contract. So we have basically 2 possible strategies. The first one is we trade only with S1. And the strategy B is to trade with S1 and S2 of T. And in usual market, if you write, let's say, contract in S1 of T, so usually you use S1 of T and bank account to hedge the payoff, right? However, like from figure number 6, we have returns of S1 of t and S2 of t have the same dynamic pattern, so somehow the spread evaluates the uncertainty of the expected market position. So let's take a scenario where prices initially are short, means high prices, and expected to be long, which is basically where quoted in 4/4/2008. So we compare strategy A and strategy B. We see here basically the prices are almost the same. And actually, strategy B provides us like less expensive portfolio to replicate the call option. Here we price call option. And as we saw for the red line, it's basically we have gain of the risk, which is basically using strategy B. When we use the strategy B, basically we can have less risk if we use only strategy A. It means if you want to really get closer and replicate better the our call options that have 5-day maturity written on S1 of T, so hedging with S1 of T and S2 of T, it's better than hedging on S1 of T. However, this provides us like inter-correlation. This is like one of the intrinsic characteristic of carbon emission markets, because usually if you have any commodity markets, we know like who is like our like underlying asset. But here basically we show that we need to pay attention here, and we need to use the information and the characteristic that subsequent contracts are really, they can be used to hedge the any like call option, let's say, in our case. So to do so, this is not good news actually for like hedging funds, because hedging funds, they don't want to get incorporated to some risk. The risk basically related to uncertainty coming from regulatory side. So what we think here, So this is basically is not magic, let's say, what we upon the red line. Why? Because we provide this like proposition and we say, if the probability that an additional, which is in our case, is 2 of t, related, can explain some of the left unhedged payoff using an optimal strategy that if you hedge only with S1 of t, then we can construct less riskier strategy using S1 of t and S2 of t. This is basically what this proposition tells us. Okay? So as I said before, like we have interdependency between compliance periods. And any model we believe the models must be multi-period, must consider the multi-period characteristic of the design of the market. And this is like interdependency also allows us to reduce market position risk. And therefore, non-emitters who fare from long regulatory changes may not trade, because they don't want to get like into complicated stories like related to any unclear long-term regulatory changes. So we propose an equivalent solution to encourage non-emitters to trade. And in this case, basically, we need a regulatory intervention. And we provide here because there is some we call optioning, so they have some funds that they obtain at the beginning of each compliance date, and then some of the money they usually go for green projects, but also here additionally we can like recommend the regulator to provide new tradable asset besides the right to emit. And this new tradable asset J must have some characteristics. And which is basically, it must allow some of the intrinsic market risk to be hedged. So it means there's some scenarios that, for example, when the prices goes up and makes the economy less competitive comparing to non-regulated countries, it needs basically to allow like people to hedge against this scenario. And must be also priced exogenous to market participants, and also must consider somehow, because we are speaking about regulator side, the social wealth of market participants. which is basically because at the initial time of compliance date, so there's some parameters that are already set by the regulator. And as we know, must be consistent somehow with arbitrage theory. What we propose here is undifferent pricing. And given basically what it says, like if you have like social cost, given this market, and we would like to introduce a new additional tradable asset, we don't want to like increase the social cost. So keep the same social cost. So we define the price of the new additional tradable asset such that the social cost won't increase. So this is what basically says equation number 14. What equation number 14 says. And here we present, for example, like instructive example, which is the exponential quality function. And here we can obtain the price using somehow combination between nonlinear transformation and the usual linear hedging strategy, which is basically here expectation under the Q measure, and here this is linear nonlinear transformation that I was talking about. So and then we can move backward from moving background from the end at time T1 and till time zero to get the price at time zero. So here, for an example, as example digital option, recall that digital option pays out certain amount if predefined event happens at future time. So the event that we define is basically, we know that the regulator announcement about market position at time T, like makes the set of YT values observable to market participants. So as an example, regulator pays one unit if he knows the market is short and expected to remain short at the next period. So which is basically here kind of like estimates that price the event that market prices are high today and will be high, remain high at time T1. So if you're back to our clear payment of course is omega would be the set omega 1, omega 5, omega 9, omega 13. And so in this case, the investor, he won't take position on S2 of T, so he will forget about the uncertainty that comes after T1, and then he can invest and take position only on the additional trading asset plus S1 of T. Okay, so this is basically some numerical results, and then gamma here, I didn't explain gamma. Gamma basically represent how far the regulator wants the market to be short. As we know, if you want to reduce the emission, basically you should set gamma to be higher level, right? So here basically we see compare, this is strategy B. This is strategy B, it means like if you are trading only with S1 and S2 of T. But here as you see, trading with strategy C, which is basically including portfolio or global position with S1 of T and additional trading asset. So we see basically it that works, outperforms strategy B. And also, as the market, like gamma goes up, it means like as market expected more shorter, then the additional traded asset gives more possibility to market, like to market participant to reduce their risk. So here basically we see how far, like how can we use like only S1 of the information and how regulator can use only S1 of the information basically to offer possibility to market participants, especially non-emitters, to like play a key role and increase liquidity in the carbon emission markets. So I think I'm out of time and thank you.